Now, welcome. It's the middle of February already. It's hard to believe. And I think it's time for a vacation. I think everybody's going to want to travel with us when we get done here.
Yeah, Linda, that's perfect. It's cold. It's gray outside. I am ready for a beautiful beach, a nice cold drink, and a good book, and some beautiful water.
And that is?
Peter. Thank you for having me today, Linda.
Welcome. And we also have?
Carolyn. And I am also looking forward to a nice sunny vacation where the water is blue and the sky is just beautiful and bright. Nice warm weather. And I think we're going to be talking about that today.
And we're going to be leaving for this place right after this show. And I'm Linda, and we're so glad you could join us today on Advanced Studio Classroom, where we're going to be talking about French Polynesia. And it is, as I said in the introduction, it's located in the South Pacific. It really is in the middle of nowhere.
So
I mean,
if you,
really in the middle of nowhere.
If you like remote locations, this is the perfect place for you to go.
That's right. It's, I mean, as we talk about it, we're going to be talking about it over the next 3 days. You'll find out a lot about it, what it has to offer, the different things that you can do there, and also we're going to talk a lot about the beauty of the area. But it is not easy to get to.
No, and that's one of the reasons why it's so great is, you know, not many people can make their way that far. It's really just in the middle of the ocean, not much surrounding it. There's not many ways to get there except a plane.
Yes, but it was discovered by Ferdinand Magellan back in 1521 from a boat. So you could take a boat there. But
you know,
it's
I always
really
wonder if these explorers find all these beautiful islands, why don't they just stay there? Instead, they leave and keep exploring and end up dying from a horrible disease or something. I just go, oh, I found a great island. I'm going to quit right here.
Well, he sighted this place called Puka Puka. And then shortly after that, a lot of explorers went to that area. And they didn't stay there. They went to other locations, as you said, died from some tragic disease. But they also took disease to this area when they went there.
Oh, interesting.
So there was there were a lot of deaths and problems through the years with this part of the world. Now, we say it's in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, so just imagine it is east and north of New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And that would also put it east of Fiji and Tonga. I mean, it is really way out there. Polynesian people, a lot of people that go to Hawaii say are from this heritage.
Right. And there is a map in your magazine on page 33 to give you an idea of where it's located between North and South America and Australia. So
right.
In the middle of the ocean.
Right. It is in the middle of the ocean. But we see that as Peter wants peace, quiet, and beauty, and all of these can be found in these islands. So let's read this first before we talk any more about it. We are on page 30 of your magazine. If you have it with you, you might want to open it or turn to this lesson, your travel lesson on your digital device, and read along with us as we just read page 30.
Enchanting French Polynesia. Visitors easily get lost in time in these beautiful Pacific islands. There's nothing quite so blue, vibrantly, rivetingly, blindingly blue, as the blue of the lagoon on Tycho, an hour's flight from Tahiti in French Polynesia. I'm lying on the deck of my overwater bungalow at the Tycho Pearl Resort, peering down through water as clear as glass. When I climb down into the lagoon to float face down, a crowd of iridescent fish crowd around me, bumping my hands and pecking at my face mask's shiny rims.
So we see that we are talking about enchanting French Polynesia. What's enchanting to you, Carolyn?
Well, if something's enchanting, then I think it has an element of magic. It kind of puts a spell over you so that you don't want to leave, maybe. You think that, oh, this is just such a wonderful place. I couldn't find a better place to go.
Okay.
And we probably think of fairy tales and things like that with this word enchanting, you know, almost like a witch put a spell on you. It's so beautiful.
Well, actually, there have been some books that have been written for this area. You know, I think most of our listeners may have heard of Captain Cook. So some of his adventures were in these islands. The Bounty was written about this area. So, you know, it's I wouldn't say that their stories were enchanting, but it does have that element to it. And notice it says that visitors can easily get lost in time in these beautiful Pacific islands. If you get lost in time, what does that mean, Peter?
Well, that means just time doesn't matter anymore. We all know what lost means, but when you're lost in time, there is no past, there is no future, and to be honest, you don't really care. You just want to be on that island.
That's right. Well, let's describe these a little bit. First of all, French Polynesia is made up of 5 island groups, and it has 118 total islands. That is a lot of islands. So those 118 islands are divided up into 5 island groups, and we're going to be talking basically about 3 of them in this article. And I said before that Ferdinand Magellan cited it in 1521, and it's called French Polynesia because it is an overseas territory of France.
Well, and it's right there is a lot of history with French Polynesia. So you have the first people group that arrived here were the Polynesians, and they were through like the Malaysian Peninsula. So they were really good at sailing. And so how do you end up in the middle of nowhere on this tiny, tiny, tiny little dot in the middle of the ocean? Well, you got to sail there, and that's how the first people came. They were really good at navigating with the stars. So that's how they spread out all over the islands in Asia. Then we have the word French. You know, how do they get involved? Well, you're talking about the explorers that come from France. So we have right here their whole history, just I think in French Polynesia. Maybe we should add the word vacation or something now.
That would be good. Okay, great. And we see that our author says that there's nothing quite so blue, and then she has three very descriptive words, vibrantly, rivetingly, blindingly blue.
Wow, that is some unique blue water there. And when I think of the word vibrantly, it brings to mind life. So if something is vibrant, it is full of life. And this would be also a very vivid blue. It's rivetingly blue. If something is riveting, then it completely absorbs your attention. So you don't want to look away from it.
And it's also blindingly blue.
Well, that's kind of a play on words with the two. You've got the adjective starting with BL, and then you've got blue. But blindingly, you know, it's just so wonderful, so blue, you might go blind looking at it. And all this put together is this writer is trying to describe how special, how wonderful the water is and how blue it is, of course.
Right. She really is painting a picture, so to speak, about the blueness of the water. And she's talking about a place, she says, as blue as the lagoon. Now, a lagoon actually is separated from the ocean. So we know, you know, we're talking about one of the islands here. And this particular area is separated from the ocean by rocks and sand, maybe by a sandbar. And oftentimes, so it's very shallow. She talks about that later on. And this place that we're talking about first is an hour's flight from Tahiti, which we're going to be talking about tomorrow, but that's the largest island. Well, I don't know if it's the largest island. It's the most populated island, okay? And the place that she's talking about is Tico, right? And what is she doing? I mean, I would like to do this.
Snorkeling, going under the water. And this sounds like a beautiful way to explore the lagoon is You have an overwater bungalow. So you can see a picture of that in your magazine on page 30, all of these overwater bungalows that are just neat little houses, very quaint, and they're on stilts or piles that are keeping it above the water, and you can go from your overwater bungalow into the lagoon and put on your snorkel mask and just swim around and let the fish surround you.
And it's not just any fish. She says a crowd of iridescent fish crowd around her. And if something is iridescent, what does that mean, Peter?
Iridescent is just showing a lot of bright colors. And when I think of iridescent, I'm thinking almost neon colors.
That's what I think, too.
Kind of green, yellow, red. It would almost glow in the dark type of colors.
And the colors kind of come out as the fish move around as well. And they're attracted, according to the article, by her face mask because, you know, she's wearing a snorkel mask probably and it has shiny rims around the edge of it. So that's attracting them.
Right. Maybe they think that she is another type of iridescent fish because she is also reflecting the sunlight.
Yeah.
And I've stayed in a bungalow before on vacation. My family's gone to Mexico a couple times, not French Polynesia, but still very nice vacation. And bungalows are really kind of fun. You can see a picture here just right below that paragraph of bungalows. And they don't have to be over water. I think that's kind of a nice luxury. But it's just kind of a fun way to spend your vacation. It's like your hotel room, but you get this private house to yourself, your family. It's a lot of fun.
Right. Yeah, I remember we stayed in one when we went to the Danim Rain Valley on Borneo. And it was next to a river. It wasn't over water or anything, but it was very cool. And it was up off the ground because of all the wildlife that came around at night on the ground level.
Wow, that's great. And the high roof is actually really important because these places can get pretty hot. And so that high roof traps all the, funnels all the hot air. So you can, when you get into your bungalow, you can get rid of all that hot air. But, you know, while you're inside, all that hot air goes up and you don't notice.
Well, yeah, I doubt there's air conditioning here.
Yeah, I'm sure. you have some fans.
Right, those overhead fans.
Yeah,
been
they do the
like
trick.
That. Yeah. And, yeah, some of the islands have very little electricity or anything that we think of modern convenience. But I know that these are all resort areas, so they're more upscale.
Yeah. And so it sounds like she's just having this great time, this writer who's talking about her first little picture here that we get of looking at the fish with the face mask. She says that the fish peck at her mask. And I usually think of this word as birds kind of pick things up with their beaks. And that's where you just take a quick bite of something, maybe not even a bite, but you touch it with your mouth. It's very quick. And I guess fish are pecking at her mask. I like that visual.
Yeah, so you know, it said that the fish crowd around her. A crowd of fish crowd around her.
Right. So the fish are not afraid to be near her.
I think they're probably used to people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's continue reading about this area. We're on page 31 now, and we're going to read the rest of this day.
The water is shallow here. Close to the Pearl's thatched main lodge, a breezy Polynesian-style retreat in the Tuamotu archipelago. The deck and pilings over a refuge for the marine community below. Brown corals, blue-lipped oysters, lumbering sea cucumbers, foot-long juvenile sharks, and the fish. From my perch on the deck, it's peaceful watching the frigate birds overhead and listening to the roar of the waves crashing on the outer reef. Since Tycho's only pass through the reef is a narrow gap too perilous for anything larger than a fishing boat, it's likely that Tycho, where time seems to have stopped, will remain secluded and unspoiled. And how different it is from Tahiti and Bora Bora in the neighboring Society Islands where my vacation began. Choices, said Marie Garrigou, a spokesman for the Pearl Beach Resort Hotels. Choices are what visitors have here on Tahiti, or Bora Bora, or Tycho. There are a dozen ways to spend a vacation, from introducing your kids to Polynesian culture to mountain biking or kayaking. After 10 days in French Polynesia, I knew what she meant. The magic on Tycho was the silence, hot sunny days, and the chance to be part of a group of six, not 60, exploring Bird Island. A Galapagos like sanctuary, where two dozen resident and migratory seabirds eat, fly, and build nests.
Well, she starts this paragraph by saying the water is shallow here, and we saw that from the previous paragraph because she just got down off of the the bungalow deck that she was on and got into the water and just floated around. And this is close to the Pearl's thatched main lodge. If you have your magazine and you see the picture on page 30, those are thatched roofs. It's made out of like leaves or dried branches and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, well, a fun little fact about last names in English was it used to be what their occupation was. And there's one last name that's Thatcher, and that means their job was to make roofs, kind of like this one. My last name is Smith, which just means I do something.
But, you are Smith.
Yeah, so if you ever hear the word Thatcher, you can say, oh, so your great-great-great-great-grandparents used to make roofs.
Oh, like Margaret Thatcher, very famous.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we should say something about this. We're talking in particular about this, the Pearl Resort, and it helps to have a lot of money to stay at this place.
Yes, this is not a cheap place to stay, but it is a very luxurious place to stay. You won't be wanting for anything staying in their bungalows, but it will make for a more expensive experience in French Polynesia.
And we see that it's a breezy Polynesian-style retreat, okay? And it's located in this archipelago, and that just means an island chain. This is the name of the island chain here. And this word just means it's a group of small islands or an area where there are a lot of small islands collected together. And we see, we've already talked about this, but the deck and pilings, so we already described what those were. They offer a refuge for the marine community below. And then she gives a description what she's looking down and seeing because the water is so clear.
Right. So she doesn't have any trouble seeing the marine life below her. Things like brown corals, blue-lipped oysters, sea cucumbers. And she describes the sea cucumbers as lumbering because of the way they move through the water. Peter, have you ever seen a sea cucumber in the water?
I have. Yes, I've gone scuba diving and snorkeling. And lumber, that's a good word. It's not graceful at all. It's kind of clumsy. You knock things over. I would say my dad lumbers around the house.
I bet your mother loves that.
Yeah. You know when he's coming. Yeah, those big feet just stomping around. That's lumber.
I never thought of a sea cucumber as lumbering. And then we see that along with them, there are foot-long juvenile sharks, which means that they're not the older sharks, they're young sharks.
Okay. And they're not very big. A foot-long shark is not a very large shark. It's not going to hurt you. There's no reason to be afraid of it. It's just swimming around along with you in the water.
Right. Yeah, and juvenile, that just means young. Sometimes we use this word as, you know, don't be childish. You're acting juvenile or something like that.
Which means you're acting like a child.
Yes, yes.
And I think this sentence is kind of interesting because she says, from my perch on the deck, and we usually talk about birds perching, it's peaceful watching the frigate birds overhead. And these kind of birds are actually tropical. It's a name for tropical seabirds. and they kind of have dark feathers, and they are also called a man of war bird because they are famous for snatching food out of another bird's mouth as they're flying by it.
And they're not petite small birds either.
No, they're not.
Very large birds. And so she is perched on the deck watching birds that aren't perched. And it's very peaceful as she listens to the roar of the waves crashing on the outer reef. So while she's in a lagoon area, there is an outer reef.
That's a coral reef we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so we get this sentence that describes, you know, visual experiences with some audio experiences. So you get this whole picture in your mind.
And we also see how secluded it is because you can only get there. It's only pass through the reef. The only pass through the reef is this gap, and it's too perilous, okay? If something's in peril, it means it's just really dangerous for anything bigger than this to go through because it'll probably get stuck. And the only thing that can go through, really, is a fishing boat.
Right. So it will remain a secluded area, and when something is secluded, then it's off by itself. There aren't a lot of other things around it.
And also, it will remain unspoiled. That's the second word she uses because, you know, when there's not a lot of people coming, they can't change the environment.
Yeah, it's always, it's a negative word, spoiled.
Right.
And usually we think of food, like your fruits and vegetables, if they sit on the table too long, they'll spoil.
Right. And then she's just contrasting this location with Tahiti and Bora Bora, and those are in the Society Islands. Remember I said at the beginning there are five island groups. So this Tycho is in a different island group than the other two, and they're in the Society Islands, where you have to fly into to catch a flight to get here. And then there's a spokesperson for the Pearl Beach Resort Hotels, and she says that it's all about choices.
Yes, and that is what their resort offers on many of the islands. It doesn't matter which one they go to. The Pearl Beach Resort has hotels on Tahiti, Bora Bora, or Tycho. And there are dozens of ways to spend your vacation. So you could introduce your kids to Polynesian culture.
What about myself?
Or introduce yourself. Yeah, you don't need to necessarily take children with you to these beautiful locations. This can certainly be an adult vacation, and we'll talk about honeymoons and different things later on in the article, but there's a lot to do here.
Linda, give me a break. I know what you're doing. You're on the beach with a book.
Okay, I'm on my deck with a book, and
okay.
I'm looking down.
Your perch.
Yes, my perch. But that's not just like finding out about culture. What else can you do here, Peter?
So she says mountain biking or kayaking. These are fun activities for more of your active person. So side note, I come from a state where we have very active people, and the way we do vacation is we want to earn that rest at the end of the day. So we want to go out and see what's under the water. We want to go and splash around in the waves, and then we want to come back and relax. So sounds like a great place for all my Coloradan friends out there. We love mountain biking. Kayaking, that's like a small boat, and it's just for one person, maybe two, but mostly one person. And that's tiring, but I bet you get to see some beautiful things.
Mm-hmm. And she spent 10 days in French Polynesia, so she knew all about the choices. And then, as Peter said in the very beginning, he is looking for silence, and that's part of the magic of this place. The hot, sunny days, and you don't have to go with 60 people. You can go with 6 people when you go exploring, especially to island called Bird Island.
Yes, and it's a Galapagos-like sanctuary. Now, Galapagos is a pretty special area. It's a group of 15 volcanic islands in the Pacific Ocean. Linda, do you have any experience with Galapagos?
I haven't been there, but I've read about it. You know, that's where...
It's very famous, yeah.
Yes, it's very famous. It's off of Ecuador. It's a protected area, and they have the famous tortoises there.
That's right. A lot of the animals that ended up on these islands were isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And... The point is that not they haven't been affected by human culture or like human activity.
Right.
And so they've been isolated throughout the years, and now everyone knows about them because we can see a lot of what nature is like without humans there.
And when it says Galapagos, like sanctuary, the Galapagos Islands are a sanctuary for the animals that live there, that were founded there. And here on Bird Island, there are 24 kinds of birds that live there. And there are also migratory seabirds that eat, fly, and build nests there. I mean, I don't know how they ever found the place myself. You know, it's a dot in the ocean just to think that a bird can fly that far. Right. But migratory, remember, it means that they fly from one seasonal place to another. And here they're flying across the Pacific Ocean somewhere, from somewhere to somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like this would be a very interesting thing to get to see. And having the opportunity to go with a small group of people is something that's becoming less and less common mm-hmm. as tour groups continue to expand. More and more people are able to travel. They have that financial mobility to fund vacations. So this is a pretty unique experience.
I also think it's less damaging to the island when you go on with 6 people instead of 60, so they can really protect that sanctuary. Well, we're out of time for today. We're glad you joined us, and we hope you'll come back and join us again tomorrow as we go to Tahiti and Bora Bora. Bye for now.
Bye. Goodbye.